Okay, so maybe you need a little bit of history about how I wound up here. But we can do this afternoon.
对，可能你们也需要了解一点点我怎么会来到这里，今天下午有机会跟你们一起做这个话谈的历史。
So it all started in 1989 when I was in Seattle and one woman took me to the American Evergreen Buddhist Association in Kirkland and I met Venerable Jinji.
所以在1989年，有一位女居士带了法师到一个美国西雅图的七元寺，法师在那里就认识了建地法师。
Some of you must have been babies back then, huh? 1989, little kids. 1989年，你们有些还是婴儿吧，还是那时候还是小孩。 No, I'm not born yet. Oh, not even born yet. Okay. You were in your previous life. Okay. So, Venerable Jinji and I became friends, and in the 90s, I was working together with another nun in the Tibetan tradition to organize a program in Bodh Gaya called Life as a Western Buddhist Nun. And we wanted to have Vinaya teachings there from both the Chinese tradition, the Dharmaguptaka Vinaya, and also from the Tibetan tradition, the Nalusha Rastavada Vinaya.
所以从中法师就跟建立法师成为了佛友，然后之后呢，90年代的时候，法师跟另外一位藏系的尼僧一起主办在菩提迦耶，主办一个生活营吧，可以这么说，是西方尼僧如何在出家生活的一个生活营。所以从中他们也想得到戒律上的教义，就建立法师就说可以请。
And so Venerable Jinji suggested that we invite Venerable Wuyin to come and teach the Dharmaguptaka Bhikshuni precepts. So in 1995, I first came here to Shankon Temple, and at that time I met Venerable Jinji. And I also invited Venerable Master Wuyin to come and teach the Tibetan nuns.
所以那时就在建地法师的推荐之下呢，法师就来到了三光寺。那是1995年，那时从中也认识了建可法师。那法师那时候来到三光寺的目的就是要请无名长老尼来教戒律，给西方尼僧众教戒律。So
one thing I remember from that time. Was Venerable Jinji taught me a verse in Chinese about precious human life. Now, would you like to say that verse now?
We are facing the echo, the valley, right? On a river.
Yeah. So indeed, we do have a precious human life this time, and it's very important that we use it wisely, because it took us many, many previous rebirths to create the amount of virtue needed to have this opportunity.
所以真的，我们有这个想法的人生是非常非常的难得。我们是因为累世中累积了无量的福报，现在才有这个机会修行佛法。And
when you consider most living beings in this world, they all want to be happy. Nobody wants to suffer. And yet, because their self-centered mind and their afflictions take control of their minds, they create the cause of suffering.
然后当我们想到整个世界所有的众生的时候，我们都是只是想离苦得乐，但就是因为我们的无明还有我们的烦恼控制了我们的心，而从中我们就一直不断的制造苦的因缘。
And this may also pertain to our family members and our friends from when we were in school. You know, they have no idea about the Buddha's teachings, and so no opportunity to practice, no opportunity to progress along the path. So this is a very sad situation.
那可能我们的家人还是以前的在学校的同学啊，可能也在有这种处境，就是完全对佛法没有认识，就因为这样呢，就不知道要怎么去修善，还有去制造他们快乐的因缘。
So we're very lucky to have this opportunity, and especially to take precepts. How many of you are bhikshunis now?
我们真的非常的幸福，有这个机会出家，有这个机会受戒。现在大家之中有几位是比丘尼呢？可以举手。
Oh, very good.
太好了，太好了。
Yeah, so you're extremely fortunate. When I came in 1995 to invite Venerable Master to teach the Tibetan monks, she was so surprised to hear that the nuns in the Tibetan tradition were not bhikshunis, because the Tibetan Buddhism does not have the lineage extant today for the bhikshunis. It never spread to Tibet.
你们真的是非常非常的幸福，因为那时候九五年法师请无明长老尼到菩提迦耶教课的时候，那时候长老尼听到说，哎，藏系的尼僧都是沙弥尼。因为他在藏系那个比丘尼的传承已经流失了，所以他们没有机会受具足戒。
So I came to Taiwan to take bhikshuni ordination, but most of the nuns in the Tibetan tradition don't have that opportunity. So all of you have that opportunity to take it. The ceremony, everything's in your own language, so you're incredibly fortunate.
所以法师他本身来到台湾受具足戒，但是在藏系有许多尼僧都没有这个机会。那你们现在在台湾有这个机会去受具足戒，所有的仪轨啊仪式都是用你们自己的语言可以去运作，所以这是一个非常非常难得的一个境况。
And I say this because sometimes, you know, we take things for granted.And then we start complaining. Oh, I have so many precepts. Oh, I can't go to the movies. Oh, there's this really good-looking man, but I'm not supposed to talk to him. Oh, poor me.
所以法师要提出这点，因为如果我们把我们这个福报当成不以为然，那心里就开始可能会抱怨。你会想，哎呀，为什么我的戒条这么多啊？哎呀，又不能去看电影。哎呦，那位男士多么英俊潇洒，那我又不能跟他说话。哦，真的是好可怜啊，这个人好可怜。
So when those thoughts come in your mind, you have to remember how unique and rare your opportunity to become a missionary is.
所以，当你的心起这种妄想的时候，你一定要提醒自己。你能成为一个比丘尼是一个非常稀有非常珍贵的一个机会。
And whenever you're unhappy, the ordination is not the problem. The mental afflictions are our problem.
当你不快乐的时候，也要提醒自己，你出家不是问题，你受戒不是问题，反而是烦恼才给你带来真正的问题。
Yeah, because sometimes we complain on and on and on.And if we think, oh, I'll go somewhere else, then the food's better, I won't have to clean the toilets there. Yeah. I'll be so much happier if I go somewhere else. But the problem is that all of our ignorance, anger, attachment, jealousy, arrogance, selfishness, all these things go with us.
所以有时候我们抱怨的时候会跟自己说，哎呀，我要去别的地方吧，可能我去了别的地方食物会比较好吃，我不用清理厕所，那我到时我才真正的会快乐。但是我们的烦恼就是随身而带，我们的嗔恚，我们的无明，我们的妒忌心都会跟着我们一起来。
Yeah, when you go to some other country and they stamp your passport with an entry visa, your afflictions come with too. They don't say you can come but your afflictions are evicted.
当你出国的时候，过境的时候啊，他们在你的护照做了那个入境的签证，对，然后你但你的烦恼还是跟你一起来啊，不是说你进入了把烦恼可以留在那个关口的。
So until we deal with our own anger, our own dissatisfaction, these things, they are going to continue to make us miserable.
我们一直如果没有去对治我们的烦恼，没有对治我们的嗔恚心，我们这种不满的心态，那这些烦恼一定会继续给我们带来问题。
And the Buddha's teachings are the perfect medicine to counteract those mental afflictions.
而佛陀的教义呢，就是我们的法药，可以帮我们对治这些烦恼。
So anyway, let me go back to the story. So I came here in 1995. Venerable Master kindly accepted our request to go to Bodhgaya in 1996 and to teach the Western nuns and the Tibetan nuns the Vinaya.
所以回到法师刚才在谈这个历史的故事，那就1995年，乌云长老们就很慈悲地接受了他们的邀请，那就到菩提迦也教西方和藏族的尼僧戒律。
And afterwards, we transcribed the tapes. I edited them. Venerable Jendi helped me with translation. We asked Venerable Master questions. And then we put out a book in English called Choosing Simplicity, which are Venerable Master's teachings on the Bhikshuni precepts.
那之后就打了把乌云长老您的那些教义的打成文字稿，然后建议法师就帮我做翻译，之后确诊法师就做了那个英文翻译的编辑，然后就出版了那本英文书叫 Choosing Simplicity， 中文应该是甘白淡泊。甘雨淡泊。
Then over the years, I saw Venerable Master, you know, from at different conferences and places.And let's see, then it was about 10 years ago that you had the conference for her 70th birthday
in Germany.
Huh? Oh, okay. Thank you.
Amber?
不是，就是来到这里把乌云长老您70年大寿
10 years ago.
Right, okay. And so I was invited and happily accepted to come and give a paper at the conference. And then we went around the country to some of your different centers. And so I was here again at that time.
所以之后陆陆续续法师也有跟长老也有交往，然后之后第二次来到三光寺就是10年前，对的，2009年，那时候我跟长老为了庆祝他的70大寿，就办了一个研讨会，是吗？关于僧伽教育的研讨会，也请法师来。那是他第二次来到三光寺，然后之后也到不同的寺院去参访。
And then last year, just over a year ago, Venerable Master and 8 of the nuns from
including Venerable Jack Wong, 7.
How many?
7.
Seven, okay, came to our abbey, our monastery in America, and for 2.5 weeks, and gave again more teachings on Vinaya to the Western nuns who follow the Tibetan tradition.
在那一年半之前，那乌云长老您还带着7位相关尼僧团的法师，就一起来到我们到美国道场受慰精神。来主办一个戒律生活营，教西方的尼僧怎么去持守戒律。
So you might wonder, well, wait a minute. You know, how can Venerable Master, who's from Chinese Buddhism, talk to all these nuns from Tibetan Buddhism? You know, are different Buddhist traditions so, you know, how different are they? How similar are they?
所以可能你心里会好奇说，诶，怎么慧长老你会跟这些藏系的女生啊，给他们教义呢？ 我们汉传佛教跟藏传佛教到底有什么差异？
When you look, our robes look very different, huh?
因为在外表看起来说，我们汉传跟藏传的那个圣服好像很不一样。
Yeah, and if you go to a Tibetan monastery, everybody sits for hours and hours, you know, when they're chanting. In Chinese monasteries, you stand for hours and hours when you chant.
你去藏传道场的时候，每个人都是坐在地上诵经啊，坐好几个小时在那里诵经。反而在汉传道场，每个人就是站着做早课晚课的诵经。
Yeah, well, both in Tibetan Buddhism and Chinese Buddhism, we're both Mahayana traditions.
但是藏系佛教跟汉系佛教两个都是大乘佛教。
So we share a lot of the same sutras, the Mahayana sutras.
所以很多经典都是共同一起在学的，特别都是大乘佛教的经典。
And we share the bodhicitta motivation.
我们也非常的专心在 发菩提心。
Yeah. And also in both Tibetan Buddhism and Chinese Buddhism, we study the Yogacarya, wisdom teachings and the Madhyamaka wisdom teachings.
然后在藏传佛教跟汉传佛教之中也有一起两者都有读唯识还有中观的智慧学。
And we all have monks and nuns who practice Vinaya. So there's a lot that's similar.
两个传承都有男众女众的师父都有持守戒律，所以其实有很多相同的地方。
I remember in the conference in 09, there was one Tibetan nun who came, and her topic was to talk about the Tibetan education system. And Venerable Master and many of the other participants in the conference were really, I don't know what the right word was, surprised, or they didn't know what the Tibetan monastic education program was like, and so they were very interested in it.
对，还记得在09年那个研讨会的时候，有一位藏族的尼师有就是谈到在藏系的整个教育的过程。那时候，慧长老您还有其他汉传的法师好像很好奇，因为他们对藏传的那个佛教教育的制度没有不是很大的了解。
Because for the both the monks and the nuns, it isn't like 5 years at a Buddhist institute. The education program in the monasteries goes on anywhere from 18 to 20 years.
因为在藏传佛教，男众跟女众的教育制度，不只是说在五年内去，你叫什么研究所学院佛学院啊，不是去五年的佛学院，反而他们的制度是花18到20多年在修学佛法。And
so that's what Venerable Master asked me to talk with you about.
所以这是长老您请法师今天跟大家谈的一个话题。
So I'll try and make it interesting.
我设法把它讲得比较有趣。
Actually, the texts that I'm going to be talking about are very, very interesting.
但是其实等一下法师要专讲的那些经典那个论文是非常有意思的。
So I thought today to outline the basic program, and then tomorrow to talk about a little bit about how compassion is taught in one of these commentaries.
所以今天法师先给大家一个大纲大略的说在藏传的教育制度，然后之后明天就比较仔细的谈他们在怎么去修学培养慈悲心。
So in Tibetan Buddhism, we have four main subdivisions: Gelu, Kargyu, Nyingma, and Sakya.
所以在藏传佛教中有四大系派，就是格鲁派、宁玛派、沙迦派，还有格局派。
The texts that are studied within these four are very similar, but I'm going to be talking specifically about the program in the Gelu monasteries.
那在这四大系派中的一些经典和论文，所修学的经典都相当相同。但是法师今天就会专注于格鲁派所读的经典。
So the Gelu tradition came about in the late 14th, early 15th century, I think it was.
所以格鲁派是在14世纪的晚年成立的。
Yeah, and there was one completely brilliant monk named Tsongkhapa.And he studied with many, many, many teachers, teaching a whole variety of different texts.
所以整个格鲁派的传承就是以一个非常优秀、非常智慧非常广的一位法师，他的名字宗喀巴大师。他与很多不同的上师求法，然后也从他们那里修学不同的系派的经典。
And as with most people who are founders of a tradition, they don't have the motivation to found a tradition. They just want to understand the Dharma and practice.
就像很多法脉还是传承的那个创办人，他们其实一开始没有说要出来站出来创办，还是开拓一个法脉。他们其实心里的整个动机，其实就是要完全的了解佛法的真义。
It's the people that come after them that make it into a tradition and establish an institution and so on.
是他们的后代才会整理把整个系统化，把整个系派变成一个集体的系统。
Okay. So the tradition that Tsongkhapa began is.One that traces itself back in ancient India to Nalanda Monastery and what we call the Nalanda tradition in India.
那宗喀巴大师的这个格鲁派的法源，其实源起在印度南兰陀大学。
Yeah. So there were several great Buddhist monasteries in ancient India. Nalanda was one of the biggest.We have Odantapuri and Vikramasila and many others. And many of the texts that were studied in those monasteries came to China and also came to Tibet.
所以在古印度有很多很大的佛教大学，之一是大兰陀。其他的剑客法师，你知道那个中文名吗 ？Odantapuri。
Taxila
对，所以这些大学中的一些论文啊和经典都也有传到中国。
So at India, in ancient India, you know, the debating tradition was very, very strong because in the early centuries of Buddhism and throughout the period of.Classical Indian Buddhism. So at that time, there were many, many religious traditions and philosophical traditions in India. They had different views and they used to debate with each other all the time.
So in the early Indian period, there were many different religions, many different philosophical traditions. So because of this, in the early Indian period, the Buddhist system was very focused on the Buddha.因为他们要一起这样辩论外道还有其他的不同的思想。
And the purpose of that was to really use reasoning to delve into what is the truth, how do things really exist?
辩经的整个目的就是要深入去了解到底我们整个世界所有的法相到底它的真实的存在是什么。
So you had all these different Buddhas, all these different non-Buddhist traditions, and the Buddhist traditions debating about this. And in ancient India, whoever lost the debate would have to become disciples of the people who won the debate, because everybody was looking for truth, and so if somebody won the debate, they had a better handle on how things existed. And so that teacher plus all their disciples will convert.
所以在古印度的时候，当外道跟佛教徒一起辩论的时候呢，谁输了那场辩论，就要成为另外一个传统的那些弟子，因为他们真的是很虔诚的想了解到真实。所以当你输了，你就知道，哎，我所信的那些思想不是真正还是不够彻底啊，他们就会随另外一位师父变成他们的徒弟。
Yeah. So there was this big tradition of debate.And when Buddhism came into Tibet, they continued that tradition of debate. And in Tibet, the purpose was to find the truth, but it was also as a pedagogical tool that helped people learn the Dharma.
所以古印度的这个强调辩论的整个技巧也是传到藏传。但是在藏传佛教内呢，除了要去探索真意，辩经也成为了一个教育的一个善巧的法门。
At one time, I asked a professor at a university here in Taipei, why the debating tradition didn't spread in Chinese Buddhism, and he said that has to do with Chinese culture, because in old Chinese culture.It was not polite to argue and debate about different things.
那法师又请教过在台北的一个博士，问他，哎，怎么这个辩经的传统没有传到汉传佛教呢？那那时候那位博士就说，可能是因为中华文化的那个的缘故吧，因为在中华文化，特别是古时候，跟别人这样辩论好像是很没有礼貌。
But in India and then in Tibet, the debate is quite animated. And they get very excited, and sometimes they shout at each other and they push each other away so that they can debate and get the other person out.
但是在古印度呢，还有在藏传佛教内，辩经是非常活跃，非常的激动的，他们偶尔会喊啊，乱推啊，乱撞这样。就是为了要把他们的那个思想这样表达出来。
Yeah, how many of you have been to India and seen them debate?
你们有几位有到过印度看到僧团在辩经的？有吗
？Okay. Anyway, it's quite a spectacle, and they really enjoy it.
啊，师父说是看着是非常热闹，那大家都变得很快乐。
Yeah. And so they take.The children into the monasteries and nunneries when they're maybe 8-9 years old, and from that age, when they begin studying just the basic texts, they learn debating.
所以在藏系的佛教内呢，小孩子可能8到9岁就可以入室。那一从小入室了之后，就会开始学如何去辩经。
And they often debate late into the night.And because it's so animated, you don't fall asleep.
他们辩经也是时常会辩到半夜，辩得很迟。然后因为是很活跃的一个活动嘛，就不会觉得累，不会想睡觉。
Yeah, we know sometimes you're reading your Dharma book at evening.
Yeah. 对，有时在网上在那里看法本的时候，就开始要打瞌睡。
But if somebody asks you a Dharma question, and you have to answer it very, very much like this, and then they give another position, and you have to think of whether that position is right or wrong, there's no time to fall asleep.
但是如果在晚上有人这样提出在法上的问题啊，然后你又马上回答，然后他又挑战你的那个回答的时候，提出另外一个意见，那你就是不会打瞌睡。
When I said they push each other, I was talking about the monks. The nuns don't do that.
提到说有乱，所以乱众是讲男众，女众是没有这么做。
Yeah, but they are quite animated still.
但是女众也是非常的活跃的去辩论。
Okay, so when they first enter the monastery, so there's five main topics they study. But there's many topics they study before the main topics.
他们会修学五大学科，但是在修学这五大学科之前，还有其他的可以说是前方便的学科。Yeah,
and they also do a lot of memorization.
他们也做很多背诵很多不同的经典。Yeah,
so a Tibetan monastery isn't necessarily a quiet place, because from early in the morning. The young monks are all memorizing, and since most of what they memorize is in verse form, they have a melody for it. Da 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 da, and they all, you know, memorize with that melody, and then they recite it, screaming at the top of their voices.
所以一个藏传的道场并不是一个很寂静的地方，因为很多他们的僧众都一直在那里背诵不同的偈文，然后也是用唱的方法去背，所以一天到晚就是听到好多僧众在那里，有时是喊得很大声，一直在背不同的偈文。Yeah,
and then so they get up in the morning and they memorize, then they go to puja, do some prayers, they have teachings during the day, they do more debate in the evening, and then they, before they go to bed, they recite their memorization again.
所以在一个藏传道场一天到晚的整个行程，就是早上一开始就会背这些偈文，背经典，然后之后就有上课，先去做早课，然后就去上课，然后下午傍晚都有辩经，然后最后晚上还是继续背诵不同的经文，才去休息。
And they learn to recite the memorized text very fast.
然后也学习要把背诵的经文全部念得非常非常的快。
I can't even talk that fast.
他连讲话都不能讲得这么快。Okay,
so the first text that they study when they enter the monastery is called Collected Topics.
所以他们一开始入世的时候，先读的第一学科是叫舍类学。
Okay, and so this text talks about different phenomena, what the division, the definitions of different things are, how to compare different phenomena. It teaches you basic debate structure.
所以这个舍类学中去学到不同的法相的定义，不同的现象的定义，如何把它们分类成不同的组。 然后如何去相对还是辨别不同的这些现象，也会学到很基础的辩论的整个概念。And
you learn the different categories of phenomena.
那也学到如何去组织不同的现象。Okay.
So one of the first debates they talk about is a white horse white?
所以最基础的一个辩论，他们所学的辩论就是白色的马是白的吗？白色的马是白色的吗？
It sounds ridiculous. What do you think? Is a white horse white?
听起来好像有点荒唐吧？就是你们觉得呢？白色的马是白色的吗？
The white horse what?
如果它脏就不是。 If it's dirty, it's not white.
Let's say it's clean.
是干净的，白马是干净的。
Is a white horse white?
白马是白的吗？Maybe.
Maybe isn't an allowed response in debate.
可以在辩论的时候回答。
You have to take a position.
一定要说出你的确定的立场。对，白马是白的吗？
Most of us would say a white horse is white, right?
我们都是人，白马是白的吗？
白色的马是白的。你们会不会这么说？Okay. That answer is wrong.
这个回答是错的。
Okay. Why is it wrong?
为什么呢？
Because a white horse is a person, it's a living being, and white is a color. So we can't say a white horse, which is a living being, is a color. We can say a white horse is a person, but a white horse is not a color.
所以在《病经》中如何去分类这些不同的现象，当我们说白马的时候，白马是人还是就是一个生物，白马是生物，不是颜色，反而白色就是颜色，所以我们可以说白马是一个生物，但是不能说白马是白色。
So they use simple arguments like that, but the idea is so that you learn about different kinds of phenomena and how to debate different things, because there's a specific structure to use.
So they 一开始就用很这些很简单的这些辩论，开始学如何去分不同的现象、不同的法相。然后之后从这里就开始学整个辩论的整个概念，还有所有的结构。
Then the next text they study is called Mind and Awareness.
那下一步呢，他们就去所学的是叫心类学。
And so this text talks about different kinds of awarenesses and how they perceive objects.
那这个心类学就会谈到不同的觉知的心事。也谈到这些心事到底是如何去察觉到他们的所缘境。
So for example, we have awarenesses that are direct perceivers. I can see the black of the microphone. I can hear the sound of the fan. So those minds that correlate with our five senses are direct perceivers.
所以我们有些心事呢，特别是五根的心事，都是能去察觉到现前的不同的事物，就好像我们的眼视可以看到这个麦克风是黑色的，那耳视可以听到风扇的声音，它就是直接去接触到那个所缘境。
Our mental consciousness, there's also a type of direct perceiver. For example, somebody who can know other people's minds.Or somebody who can fly through space. No, not that one, sorry. Somebody knowing other people's minds. Or, for example, a bodhisattva who can hear teachings in the Pure Land. So those are mental direct perceivers.
在心事中也有一些在我们的心神，那个就是不是五根对吗？第六识心事。也有一些是现前的心事，就是能去好像也有神通，你去可以去察觉到别人在想什么，那是一个现前的心事，还是在菩萨可以因为他有神通，他能听到在净土所有佛法在佛在教法，那这种神通也是一种现前的心事。
Okay. So those direct perceiving minds that know the object directly.Then we have conceptual minds that don't know the object directly. These are mental consciousnesses, but they know the object through the appearance of a conceptual appearance to the mind. So for example, when you're thinking, when you remember something, those kinds of awarenesses know their objects in a very different way than the direct perceivers do.
那有第二种心事呢，可以说是以分别心而起的，就是它不是直接了当的去接触到它的所缘境，反而是从我们思维上是有一个概念，由一个概念才去了解到那个事物，就好像当我们在回忆往事啊，还是当我们想到一件事的时候，就是以分别心而起的心事。
And it's important to be able to recognize these two types of awarenesses in our own experience, because if we don't recognize them, we can get ourselves into a lot of trouble.
So, 我们本身要自己去学会如何去辨别这两种不同的心事，这个现前的心事还是以分别心而起的心事。如果我们不能辨别这两者的时候呢，那我们可能就会开始错乱。
Okay. So let's take an example of when your teacher scolds you for something.
指导你就是那么
Okay. So your teacher says, you know, you had an assignment due today, you didn't do the assignment, you didn't turn it in, what kind of student are you? What are you doing here anyway?
对，可能师长就跟你说，嘿呀，你连功课都没做好，没有今天要教的都没教，你到底是怎么样的一个学生嘛？你到底来这里是什么？又为了什么而来？
Yeah. Then what goes on inside of us? Oh, my teacher's yelling at me. What's wrong with me? I did something terrible. I'm a failure. Or why is my teacher talking to me that way? I did my homework okay. It was just a little bit late. Why is she so upset?
那我听到这种话的时候，我们心里就会什么态度呢？就心里会想，哎呀，我这个人是真糟糕啊！哎，我是完全失败了，什么都做不好，整天被师傅怪。还是可能我们心里会想，哎，这个人师长怎么这么跟我说这种话嘛？我的功课不是明明做得不错的嘛？迟到一点就这样讲我。
Yeah, my teacher doesn't care about me. Yeah, they're just being mean.
心里就很不服气，说啊，师傅就完全不关心到我，他只是很刻薄，这样欺负我。
Yeah, that's how you feel sometimes.
你偶尔会有这种想法吗？
So let's look at that. Okay, when your teacher scolds you and says, you know, you didn't do your homework and you're a lousy student and, you know, you're lazy. Okay. Your ear consciousness is hearing sound, right?
所以当你的师长在这样指责你的时候啊，说，哎，你这个学生太差了，这个态度这么差，什么都这么懒散。当你在当下的时候，是你的耳识察觉到声音，不是吗？
Yeah, it's just hearing sound, the sound of your teacher's voice.
在那个当下，就只是听到师长的声音，对不对？
Yeah. Are you hearing with your ears? My teacher doesn't care about me. My teacher is being mean.
你的耳是不是在察觉到，哎，师傅完全不关怀我，师傅对我好刻薄，是吗？
You're not hearing that, are you? So the sound of your teacher's voice, yeah, that consciousness was a direct perceiver. But where's all this other stuff coming? They don't care about me, or I'm a lousy student, or, you know, I did it okay, why are they mad? Where is all of that coming from? What kind of consciousness is that?
所以我们的耳识就是一个现前的心智嘛，就只是听到声音。但是为什么从中而会产生到所有这些其他的意念呢？心里会想，哎，师父不关怀我啊，对我这么整天骂我等等。这些意念到底是从哪里产生的呢？
That's a conceptual consciousness, isn't it? That's a mental consciousness that is thinking.
所以这些都是我们的心智，就是以分别心而起的心智。 不是吗？
Okay. Is it thinking correctly?
这个心是正不正确呢？ Not accurate.
Not accurate? Really?
真的吗？
Why are you so mad if it's not accurate?
不正确的话，为什么心里又这么生气呢？
Yeah? Why do you get so mad?
Because of attachment.
Oh. Attachment to what?
你执着什么?
Me, my reputation.
我的名誉.
Yeah. And then anger comes in the mind, right?
就因为这个执着，那个心就起了嗔恚心.
And then sometimes some self-pity.
然后也会自怜.
But when that situation is happening, we are hears the sound, we think we're hearing all that meaning. But actually, the meaning we attribute to what our teacher is saying, that is a conceptual consciousness coming from inside of us. It's not coming from our teacher.
所以在那个当下，我们就没有去察觉到我们的现前的意识只是听到声音，反而我们一直以为我们所听到的是我们的心里所想所有这些意义，对吗？我们的意念，我们以为我们的耳根在那里听这些，师父对我们这么刻薄的整个意思，对吗？但是其实这些意念都是来自我们自己的心事，而不是来自师长。
So I wrote a book called Don't Believe Everything You Think. And this is why, because often our conceptual mind imputes things that are incorrect to situations and to people.
所以法师有写了一本书，英文是 Don't Believe Everything You Think， 就不要相信你所有的意念，你的意思，因为我们的分别心所起的意念不一定是可靠的。
Whereas if we can recognize the difference between a direct perceiver and a conceptual mind, then we could say, oh, I heard the words, okay, but all that emotional stuff is not coming from my teacher, it's coming from my interpretation.
但是如果我们可以很清楚地辨别现前的心事，还有以分别心而起的心事呢，我们就可以很清楚地对自己说，OK， 我所听得到是师长的话，那其他在情绪上的反应其实是来自我自己的心。
So that's helpful, isn't it?
如果能这么清楚地想的话，会对我们很大的帮助，不是吗？
So, but not all conceptual consciousnesses are erroneous like this. For example, right now, you know, I'm talking, you're hearing, you're taking notes, yeah?When we use speech, when you're hearing, learning things, you're thinking and you're learning, and that's conceptual consciousness too. And that kind of conceptual consciousness is very helpful.
但是不因为以分别心而起的这些心事不一定是错乱的，就好像现在你们在听法师的演讲啊，你有思维，你在写笔记。所以这些也是在运用到我们的这个分别心的心事，但从这里就不是错了。
Okay. So I can't go into more depth. This is a really fun topic.
Yeah. 所以现在没有时间深入谈这个心理学，因为这个心理学其实是很有趣的。
Yeah. The mind and awareness text is also like a Buddhist psychology text because it talks about all sorts of different mental factors.The afflictive ones that we need to abandon on the path to become Buddhas, the virtuous ones that we want to enhance and practice to become Buddhas.
所以这个心内学这里也谈到好像在佛法上的一种心理学吧，因为也有谈到不同的心所，会介绍说那些烦恼的心所，我们需要去去除的心所，也有谈到我们善的心所，我们要培养这种善的心所才能成佛果。
And this topic is very, very helpful for our meditation because when we meditate, we have different mental states arise. Some are virtuous, some are non-virtuous. And having this outline of the mental factors helps us identify different mental states in ourselves and to be able to discern.Which ones to enhance and which ones are not helpful or are incorrect.
所以心理学也会帮到我们在禅修还是学静坐的整个过程，因为我们在静坐的时候就有很多不同的心态会起。然后，如果我们学会怎么去辨别什么是善、什么是恶的心态，那我们就会了解要怎么去对治不同的烦恼。就是学心理学的大纲就会给我们这个介绍。
When you're meditating, have you ever gotten really angry in your meditation?
你在静坐的时候会不会起很强烈的嗔恨、愤怒的心态呢？有吗？ What? She hasn't had anger come up, but she cries.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're lucky. I've gotten angry in my meditation.
就很幸福。法师说他在静坐的时候有生气，非常的生气。So
I might be saying, "Om Mani Padme Hum," you know, like Namo Kanchi and Pusa. Now, Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani Padme Hum, Mani Padme Hum. Oh, 15 years ago, my brother was really mean to me. Oh, my brother is always mean to me. I think I need to tell him off that he shouldn't talk to me like that. Yeah? Has that ever happened to you?
所以法师举例说，他在静坐的时候，可能在吃那个Om Mani Padme Hum，好像就讲，是好像念南无观世音菩萨那个大悲的那个修慈悲心的咒语。他以前Om Mani Padme Hum，Om Mani Padme Hum，心里就想，哎呀，15年前我的弟弟，对我多么的刻薄，Om Mani Padme Hum，Om Mani Padme Hum。到现在他还是对我很刻薄，就是一，他就是这这这这有人一直这样对我这么刻薄，Om Mani Padme Hum，Om Mani Padme Hum。Yeah.
Or sometimes attachment, you know, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Oh, I bet it's the same old food, Om Mani Padme Hum. But some of that food is really like, nice. Oh, I hope they make my favorite dish today. Mmm, Om Mani Padme Hum.
那偶尔我们静坐的时候就会起一种贪心哦，在那里，Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, 然后就想，哎，今天下午要午餐要吃什么？ Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. 哎呀，又是吃那种老样子的菜，真讨厌。Oh my god，Oh 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 my god，
Do you ever fall asleep in your meditation? You start?
Yes.
Okay. So those are all different mental factors. And when we study the mind and awareness teachings, we learn all these different mental factors, and then we can see them in our own experience.
然后我们在静坐的时候就开始去辨别，开始去认识，哎，这是什么心态，这是什么心所。
And then we have to think which ones are useful and which ones aren't. Because sometimes, for example, you're kind of getting a little bit drowsy. You're not asleep yet, you're a little bit drowsy. It's kind of a nice feeling, you're spaced out. Yeah. Is that a virtuous mental state in meditation? Is that virtuous? Is that what you're trying to get?
你去静坐就是要修这种境界吗?
No.
No. But it feels so nice.
不是想修这种境界，但是好舒服哦，好舒服的感觉。
Okay. So studying this text is very helpful for our meditation practice.
所以读心内学呢，对我们整个静坐的过程非常的有用，非常有益。
Okay. So my ear consciousness, my auditory consciousness, just heard a bell, and I think that means it's time for a break.
对，我的耳室好像察觉到有打引磬的声音哦，就好像说现在应该是休息时间。Okay,
so let's take a short break. So we've been talking about the initial topics that they study in the Tibetan monasteries. So we talked about collective topics, mind and awareness. Then the third text topic they study is called signs and reasonings. And so this one is all about how to use reasoning to prove what you believe.
所以我们刚才谈到的就是在藏传佛教那个整个学佛的基础，一些基础的科的学科，可以说是前方便的学科，开始谈到了社类学还有心类学，然后我们下一步呢就是会学叫因类学，然后就因类学就是要学怎么以逻辑去推断正确的推理。
So one of the unique features of the Buddha Dharma is that it depends on reasoning, and developing faith in the three jewels depends on reasoning, on thinking about things and coming to correct conclusions. It doesn't, faith in Buddhism is not blind faith.
So when we talk about this belief,其实我们的信念是以理，是很非常理性的一种信念，是因为有正确的理由而产生信念，就不是盲目的去信佛了。我们是因为自己有思维过，用自己的推理才会开始对佛法有信念。
So for example, if somebody comes along and says, why do you think there's rebirth? Then can you just say, well, I believe because Buddha said so?
就譬如说，可能有人来问你，你为什么会说有轮回，会有就是一直转世的这个现象呢？是不是能不能说，哦，因为佛陀这么说，我就这么相信，可以吗？
Or if somebody comes along and says,Oh, Buddhism says there's no self, but I'm here. So what does no self or selflessness mean in Buddhism? Can you just say, well, yeah, I believe there's no self. It's cool. You know, Buddha said so, so I believe.
那如果有人，譬如也是说有人来说，哎。佛教中也是说有无我，但是明明有一个我在这里，所以这个无我在佛教内到底是什么意思呢？到底什么是无我？那你可以回复说，无我就是无我啊，我相信有无我，因为就是很酷的一个词眼，就是这样。
Yeah. Or somebody says, "How do you know Buddha exists?" Do you just say, "Well, my grandma, my dad told me so, so I believe."Is that sufficient?
有人问你说你怎么知道佛陀真正有存在？那你可以回复说，哦，是我的奶奶呀，还是我的父亲教我说啊，就是因为这样，哎，我就相信佛陀有存在。
Yeah. Oh, you know, I didn't grow up Buddhist. I grew up in another religion, you know, that talked about God. And whenever I asked questions about God, you know, the answer was just be quiet and believe.And I thought that's ridiculous.
So, 法师小时候不是在一个佛教家庭生长，他是在另外一个宗教生长。然后当时他就每次问说，到底上帝是为什么？你们说上帝真的存在吗？那每个人就会跟他说，你不要再问这么多了，你静下来相信就是了。
Yeah, God created the world. Yeah, but that meant God created suffering.Well, if God is compassionate, why did he create suffering?
如果说上帝制造了整个世界，那也就是说上帝也制造了我们的痛苦。那如果上帝是慈悲的，为什么他要给我们制造痛苦？
You know, they have no reason to say. And sometimes somebody would say, well, God created suffering so we could learn about virtue.And then I would say, well, why didn't God create us smarter to start with? What use is suffering?
有些人也会说，上帝会制造痛苦，就是要我们学善。那法师就说，那为什么上帝一开始就不要把我们制造成比较聪明的人呢？为什么要以苦而去学怎么去学善？
Yeah, so we can't be Buddhists that just say, well, Buddha's a good guy and I believe it. Yeah.
所以我们身为佛教徒不能在那里谈徒啊，这样就说，佛陀是好人，所以我相信他。
Yeah. So this is why we study reasoning and logic, so that we can take the Buddhist teachings and apply reasoning to them so that we can really prove them to ourselves. And when we do that, then our faith and confidence in the three jewels is very solid, it's very firm.
就因为这样，我们才会要去学英明学还是英类学。我们要去学如何以正确的推理，如何以我们的逻辑去真正的去思考三宝的存在。然后从中，我们是以理性的方式而去建立我们的信念，我们的信念就会非常的巩固。
Then, so that was the third topic. Fourth topic is called tenets.And tenets is about the different philosophical schools in Buddhism.
那第四个学科是叫四部宗义。四部宗义中就是会谈到在佛教内不同的佛法的哲学的思想。
So you may have heard in your Buddhist history class, very early on there were 18 different schools.
对，当你们在学佛学历史的时候，可能有听说过，早期的时候有十八个不同的宗派。
And then afterwards, Nagarjuna taught the Majjhimika view, and Asanga and Vasubandhu taught the Yogacarya view, and Maitreya did.
那之后，你们也可能有学到说，龙树菩萨就教了中观的那个哲学，中观的想法，对吗？然后之后也有无着菩萨。还有世亲论者论师，他们教的是瑜伽还是唯识的思的哲学。
So the Tibetans have said that there's four chief philosophical schools, and some of them have multiple branches. Actually, all of them have multiple branches.
所以在藏传佛教内呢，就把这些所有的佛教哲学分为四部主要的宗义。然后在这些四部宗义内也有分比较维系的不同的序的系派。
And so they have different views about what are the two truths, and what is the path to awakening, and what exactly is Buddhahood.
所以在这四部宗义内呢，不同的宗派会有对于二谛，对于什么是佛果。
And so in this topic of tenets, we learn all these different views, and then it makes us think a lot, like, which view do I believe?
所以当我们学四部宗义的时候，就会要了解到这些不同的宗义的不同的观点。那从中我们也会自己问自己说，诶，我到底是相信，还是我自己的意识中到底是以什么观点来看待三宝，看待佛法？
Because some of the sages say, oh, Yogacarya, that's the right view. And others say, no, Majjhimika is the right view.
因为有些这些圣者嘛，他们就说，诶，不是的，唯识就是对的，唯识是正确的观点。然后其他又辩论说，不是啊，是中观，中观才是正确的。
Then there's other people who take a little bit from Yogacarya and a little bit of Madhyamaka, and they're called the Yogacarya Madhyamakas.
反正也有些人，他们就是从瑜伽行派抽出一些哲学的理论，还有也是从中观那里抽出一些，那就形成一个新的叫随瑜伽行中观派，就两个一起修。
Yeah. So it's a very interesting topic because it really makes you think, well,You know, when I study Yogacarya, yes, that makes sense. But when I study Madhyamaka, that makes sense too. But they don't say the same thing. So what really is the correct view, and what do I believe?
所以其实这个整个科这个学科非常的有趣嘛，因为当我们在学唯识还是瑜伽行的时候，就会想，哎，这是非常的符合逻辑嘛，好像。听起来很正确，但是去学中观的时候也觉得，哎，这也是听起来很正确嘛。那到底谁才是正确的呢？哪一个是正知呢？那你心里也想，哎，我本身到底相信的是什么？我是以什么观点来看待整个世界？
So that's the topic of tenets, what we study.
那就是四部中义，那我们学四部中义的时候，就是在思维到这些不同的系派。
And then the fifth preliminary topic is called grounds and paths.
那第五个前方便的学科呢，就是简称道地，就是谈到法师应该会解释道地。
So this talks about the paths, how you progress from an ordinary state to an awakened state, and it talks about it in terms of the three vehicles, the Sravaka vehicle, the Pratyekabuddha vehicle, and the Bodhisattva vehicle.
所以这个学科就是谈到我们怎么从凡夫成为圣人还是成佛果。是从三乘的不同的观点来谈，就是声闻乘、缘觉乘还有菩萨乘，谈到这三乘的道和地。
So which vehicle do you follow of those three?
那这三乘之中呢，你们是修哪一乘呢？
Yeah. Do you want to be an arhat by following the Shravaka or the solitary realizer vehicle? Do you want to become a Buddha by following the Mahayana vehicle?Or the Bodhisattva vehicle, what do you want to do?
对，你本身是要修声闻乘、缘觉乘，要得阿罗汉果吗？还是你是要修菩萨乘、大乘去得佛果呢？你本身觉得
Yeah, which one do you want to follow?
Bodhisattva.
Oh yeah, why do you want to follow the Bodhisattva vehicle?
为什么要修菩萨乘呢？You help yourself and you help others. You benefit yourself.
Yeah, that's true. But it takes so long to become a Buddha. You know, if you practice Shravaka path, you get to arhatship really quick. If you practice the Bodhisattva vehicle, three countless great eons. Oh.
对，法师就说：“真的吗？但是要成佛要好久好久好久的时间哦，但如果你修声闻乘的话，你要证阿罗汉果是蛮快的。但是你要修菩萨乘哦，要有三大阿僧祇耶才可以成佛。那怎么办
？So why do you want to follow the Bodhisattva vehicle? Give me some good reasons.
啊，给法师一些好的理由。你为什么要修菩萨乘
？Yeah, helping yourself and helping others is one good reason.
那好，可以自利利他，对，那是一个好的理由。
Yeah, but why do you want to spend three countless great eons doing that?
那你到底为什么要花三大阿僧祇耶做这个事啊？
You know, couldn't we bargain it down to one countless great eon?
我们可以跟佛陀讨价还价嘛，就跟他说，哎，一个阿僧祇耶就够了，好不好？可以吗？
Yeah. Why do you want to become a Buddha?
为什么你要成佛？
啊？You gotta give me some reasons.
我要提出一些理由哦。
Yeah, you can't just say because Sifu said so.
不可以说哦，师父这么说啊。
Now, what are the benefits of following the Bodhisattva vehicle?
我们是修菩萨乘有什么利益呢？不要害怕，可以踊跃回答我。
Hello?
Your aspiration is greater, the size of your heart is greater.
Yep, very good.
很好
Very good. What else?
还有什么？什么其他的利益？You put an end to your afflictions.
Yeah, the arhats do that too.
阿罗汉也有断烦恼哦。But the arhats still have latencies.
Okay, so the Bodhisattva vehicle, you eliminate all defilements, including the latencies.
对，因为我们修菩萨乘呢，不只是把去除烦恼，连那个烦恼的习气也会完全去除掉。
Okay, so we have to think about this, you know, which vehicle and why, and build up our courage and build up our resilience.
所以我们要真的去思维这一点，我们到底是要修哪一乘呢？然后从中我们就可以建立起我们的勇气，建立起我们的坚定，那个忍耐的心。
And we have to really care about other sentient beings.
我们从中也会才会真正的去关怀到其他的众生。
Yeah. Do you care about all sentient beings, even cockroaches?
你心里会关怀到所有的众生吗？连蟑螂也会去关怀。
Yeah, do you have compassion for beings born as cockroaches?
你对身为蟑螂的众生，你会觉得发慈悲心吗？
Oh, how are you going to be bodhisattvas?
如果不对蟑螂发慈悲心，要怎么成为菩萨呢？
Yeah, bodhisattvas have compassion for all sentient beings, including spiders, scorpions, cockroaches, mosquitoes.
所以菩萨是对所有的众生都有发菩提心、发慈悲心啊，连蟑螂啊、蚊子啊、蝎子都包括在内。
Were you once born as a cockroach in your previous life?
以前是会不会曾经也是蟑螂呢？可能 maybe
is not a good answer.
你说的可能不是一个好的。
We've had beginningless lifetimes. In beginningless lifetimes, you know, they say we've been everything, we've done everything, except practice the Dharma. So have you been born as a cockroach in the past? So
we've been in the past, and then the teacher says, we've been doing everything in the past. So you ask yourself, in the past, maybe it's a snake?
Yeah, we've all been born cockroaches.
对啊，我们全部都已经
Yeah, I remember you. We were all chasing after the same piece of bread together.
我们全部紧紧停在地上，追来追去就是抢那片面包。
Yeah. When you were a cockroach, did you want the human beings to have compassion for you and not smash you?
你是蟑螂的时候，你心里会想希望这些人会对我有慈悲心，不要这样把我给压死的。
Yes, we did, didn't we, when we were cockroaches? So then, shouldn't we have compassion for those beings born as cockroaches?
我们吃蟑螂的时候会这么想。对吗？所以我们现在是人，我们不应该，我们是不是应该也一样发慈悲心，对蟑螂有慈悲心？
I had one of my Dharma friends, his uncle had just died, and was an uncle that he was very fond of.
所以哈法师有一位佛友，他的舅舅过世了，然后他是跟这个舅舅非常的亲。
And my friend was living in India.In India, they have the most amazing spiders.
So, 那时候他的佛友是住在印度。那在印度的那些蜘蛛哦，是非常的恐怖的， yeah. 好大只哦。
This big.
这么大。
Yeah. And their long legs. They're really kind of, they're kind of scary, you know? Because you think, oh, I'm sleeping, and what happens if that guy crawls on my arm?
对啊，好大只，看起来又很恐怖。脚又很长，那你心里就想，在睡觉的时候，它爬到我身上怎么办
？Yeah. So my friend, one time after his uncle died, there was a big spider in his room, and he looked at it, and all of a sudden, he thought that could be my uncle in his next life.
所以那时候，法师这位佛友呢，他就在坐在房间，那他的舅舅已经过世了嘛。那他就看到他房间里有一个很大，就是一只蜘蛛坐在那里。那忽然他就意念到，哎，可能这是我的舅舅，他已经过世了，可能他投胎变成的这个蜘蛛，可能这是我的舅舅。
So after that, his attitude towards spiders really changed.
那之后他对蜘蛛的整个态度就完全改变。
Okay, so paths and stages we need.
对，法师刚才就说我们学这个不同的道地就是。
Okay, so so that's the topic on paths and grounds.
我们学不同的道地就是这个学科。
Okay, then the next introductory topic is called 70 topics. And this is an introduction to the topics covered in Maitreya's text, The Ornament of Clear Realization. The Sanskrit title is Abhisamaya Alankara.
所以那第五个前方便的学科呢，是叫七十义。那这七十义就是开始介绍弥勒菩萨写的《现观庄严论》。
So, yeah. So that's an introduction to that text. Yeah. Now we're going to go into I should say more about that text. So that is like a summary or an abbreviation of the topics that they're going to study when they go in to study the Ornament of Clear Realizations in depth.
所以在这个学科的七十义的这个学科中，就是总结还是略说他们将来要学比较深入的学现光庄严论会所学到的不同的题目。Yeah,
so it's like watching a trailer for the movie.
就好像在看电影之前有一个广告，对吗？好像把它剪短3到5分钟的短片。
So those are the introductory topics. So those, they usually study, it could take 4 years, something like that, to study those, it depends. Then they go into the 5 main topics.
然后之后呢，就进入了五大学科。
Okay, so I'll list those 5 main topics and then go through and explain them.
所以法师先会列出这五大学科，然后就比较仔细的谈。Okay,
so the first topic is Prajnaparamita, or the perfection of wisdom.
所以第一就是般若学。
The second is Madhyamaka, or middle way philosophy.
那第二步就是中观学。
The third is Pramana, or reliable cognition.
那第三个是英明学。
The fourth is Vinaya.
第四个是戒律学,
which I think you know. And the fifth is Abhidharma.
那第五个就是阿毗达摩学。
Okay. So these are the 5 main topics. So the first one is the Prajnaparamita. And here they use Maitreya's text, The Ornament for Clear Realization, which I don't think was translated into Chinese until maybe very recently, right?
所以第一大学科就是般若学科，那他们依赖的就是弥勒菩萨写的《现观庄严论》，也不清楚是不是说近年来才翻译成中文，是吗？
Yeah.
The 现观庄严论 is yes, but Sutra come to China quite early.
The which sutra?
The Prajnaparamita sutra.
Yeah, but the Prajnaparamita sutras we have both in Tibet and in China. Yeah. But the topic of Prajnaparamita isn't talking explicitly about the perfection of wisdom. It's talking more about all the practices that you do to develop the perfection of wisdom. So, and it's based on Maitreya's text, not on the sutra per se. In other words, it's dealing with the implicit topics of the Prajnaparamita, not the explicit topic of emptiness. Yeah, so that's the difference in it. So when they're studying the Abhisamaya Alankara, they study the 4 truths, the qualities of the 3 jewels, The practices done by the Shravakas, the solitary realizers, the Bodhisattvas, the six perfections, Buddha nature, the five paths, the ten grounds, the meditative stabilizations in the form and the formless realms. So all sorts of vast information about the path.
所以当他们在学般若学的时候，就是非常广大的学科，就开始学四谛，开始学五道十谛，什么是佛性，什么是六度，声闻的声闻和菩萨不同的修行的法门，也有学到那个无色与无色界的禅定，就这些所有不同成佛的法门，就这样慢慢的学。
Yeah, it talks about the 12 links of dependent arising, the 20 sangha, the two truths. Yeah, the different kinds of bodhicitta. Yeah, so they studied this text for 4 to 6 years.
他们就会花四到六年，专注于学这个现光庄严论。
Yeah, so they study, you know, the Abhisamayalankara itself. Then there's 21 Indian commentaries on it. Then there's Tibetan commentaries on it. So they really study a whole lot of texts to learn this material.
所以除了读现光庄严论之外呢，有21个源自于印度的注解，还有他们也会学着藏传对藏人所写的注解，所以真的是非常的深入去了解这个现光庄严论。Yeah,
and they debate that material.
那他们从中所学的这些资料呢，也会拿来辩经。Then
the second of the five main topics is the middle way view or Vanyamaka.
那第二个学科就是中观学。Okay,
so this view was prominent, made prominent by Nagarjuna.
那这是龙树菩萨所推荐的一个学科。Yeah,
who was an incredible Indian sage.
那龙树菩萨真的是非常有智慧的一个圣者。Yeah,
his text, the treatise on wisdom, was translated into Chinese by Kumara Jiva.
那时候龙树菩萨的中论，对吧？就是由菊摩罗尊者翻译成中文。Yeah,
and this view is very very prominent one in Tibet.
所以在藏传佛教，非常的专注于学中观学。Yeah,
so we study it based on Nagarjuna's view. His student Aryadeva, who wrote the 400 in the Chinese canon, it's called the 100. So somehow there's 300 extra verses in the Tibetan version.
所以藏传就依赖着龙树菩萨的论文，也有看圣天菩萨他的心子所写的中观400论，但是好像在汉传是中观100论，都不知道在。
And then we study also the seventh century text by Chandrakirti called the Supplement to the Middle Way.
所以我们也有学那个七世纪的月称菩萨的入中论。
Yeah, that text didn't get translated into Chinese early on. I think now it may be. I think Venerable Fatsun has translated it.
好像早期没有翻把这个入中论翻成中文，但是现在法尊法师应该已经有翻译成中文。If
you don't know anything about Venerable Fatsun, you should read about him. He's incredible.
法师说，如果我们对法尊法师没有什么认识呢，他鼓励大家去了解一下这位法尊法师的整个生平，因为他真的是对佛教做出了很大的贡献。
Yeah, totally brilliant mind.
他非常有 智慧。
No, unfortunately, we didn't meet him.
好可惜，没有这个福报，直接去跟他结缘。
But we're benefiting from his translations.
但是因为他也做了这么多翻译，其实到现在还有受到这个利益。
We also use some Kappa's texts. One is called Illumination of the Thought.
所以我们也有随宗喀巴大师的论文，这个叫《入中论》。
So the Madhyamaka topic deals very much with emptiness, you know, the selflessness of persons and phenomena.
所以我们学中观学的时候就开始谈到空性，看到所有的人和事物，所有法相的空性。
Yeah, and yet, even though things lack inherent existence or their own inherent nature,They still exist and they arise and appear dependently.
那虽然所有的现象都是没有一个本性，没有自性，但是他们还是会显现，还是有存在。
Yeah. Another one of Tsongkhapa's texts we study here is called Essence of Eloquence.
那另外一个宗喀巴大师所写的论文，我们有学的是《泛了意不了经善说藏论》。
And
the Chinese title is very long.
Oh, okay.
善说藏论，简说是善说藏论。
Yeah, has that been translated into Chinese?
So,
okay, then we'll find some probably.
应该是法师法师也有翻译。
Yeah. So, this topic is the one of the favorite topics.
所以大家都非常喜欢学这个。变了意不了经善说藏论的这个学科。
Yeah, it's why did they laugh?
Because the title is very long.
Oh, okay.
Determining the essence of the interpretable and definitive, the essence of the
Yeah, that's why I just said essence of eloquence. Yeah. But it's a difficult topic, but it's really fun to study because it makes you.Ask yourself, how do I perceive things? And do things exist in the way that I perceive them to exist?
所以学这个论文其实是非常的深奥，但是也是很有趣、很有意思，因为你开始会问自己说，诶，我到底是怎么去察觉我周遭的整个环境呢？我到底怎么知道什么存在，什么不存在？
Yeah, because, for example, when we think of ourselves, we think, I exist, right?
所以当我们想到我们自己的时候，我们会想，诶，我存在，
yeah.
是吗？
And what's our feeling about that I that exists? It's real, isn't it? I'm here, me.
那我们对在这里存在的我们的感受的感觉是怎么样的？我们会心里想，我在啊，我就在这里啊，我是真的，我是真实的。
Yeah.And especially when we have a strong emotion. I'm so angry. Yeah, I'm so jealous. I want that.
当我们情绪很强烈的有很强烈的情绪的反应的时候，我们就会想，我好生气，我好妒忌，我要那个东西。
Yeah. Have you ever stopped to ask, who is that I that is mad?
你有没有停下来问一问自己，那个生气的我到底是谁
？Yeah, who's the who that is jealous?
那个妒忌的我到底是谁
？Yeah, who's the who needs this?
那个需要这个东西的我到底是谁
？Yeah, we have this feeling of a very strong I, but what is it really?
我们心里就很强烈的感觉有一个我存在，但是这个我到底是什么
？Yeah, when you look within your body and mind, can you find an I?
当你去观察你的身心的时候，你找得到一个我吗
？Yeah. Is your body who you are?
你的身体就是你吗
？Yeah. Is your brain you?
你的脑袋是你吗？
Yeah, the scientists think, you know, person's in here.
那些科学家都想，脑袋就是人啊，那个人就在那个脑袋里面。
Yeah, is your body you? Yeah, it feels like you're inside your body, doesn't it? Yeah. When we're thinking, it feels like the I is in here. When we have a strong emotion, it feels like the I is here. When we stub our toe, it feels like the I is in our toe. Do you think there's some kind of I that like travels around in your body? Yeah. Do you think if you could unzip your whole body and open it up, you would find yourself? Yeah. We say no, but why are you so attached to your friends and relatives? Yeah? Because you think, oh, you know, our bodies are similar. I came, you know, we have the same genes. We have the same chromosomes. But if you're not your body, then why are you so attached to those particular people? In English, they have an expression that blood is thicker than water, meaning that we're more attached to our relatives than we are to people who aren't our relatives. Why are we so attached to our relatives? Because we have the same genes and chromosomes if we're not our bodies. Don't say the answer is maybe. We have to ask ourselves that question.
Uncontrolled.
Yeah. It's uncontrolled attachment. It doesn't really make much sense, does it? So if we're not our body, then maybe we're our mind. Okay. If you're your mind, which mental state are you? Are you a happy mind or an unhappy mind? Are you a loving mind or a hateful mind? Are you an awake mind or an asleep mind? Yeah, if you say you're your mind, which one are you? Yeah, maybe the one who doesn't like firecrackers. So I never understood. Why do people like firecrackers? Yeah, it makes me think of bombs and guns. Doesn't it? Yeah, I was in Malaysia during the Gulf War, you know, and they were bombing and shooting each other, you know, in Kuwait and Iraq, and it was Chinese New Year, and they're, I'm going, oh, why are they having bombs here in Malaysia? Oh, no, it's firecrackers.
<笑><笑> 你原来是在庆祝了农历新年。
Do you understand why people like firecrackers?
你们了不了解为什么人家喜欢放炮竹啊？
去年是要有火势。
Oh, there's a story behind it.
Oh.
Yeah, during for Lunar New Year.
Oh, they like to make you nervous, huh?
大家都紧张。欢
迎。
the topic of Madhyamaka deals with it.
所以这整个问题，我是谁是非常重要的。那我们当我们学中观学的时候，就会去探讨这个问题。
Okay. Then the third major topic. So the Abhisamaya Alankara, the perfection of wisdom, they study 4 to 6 years. Madhyamaka, they study 2 years.
所以星光庄严论他们会花4到6年去学，中观学就花大概2年的时间去学。
Then the third topic is pramana or reliable cognition.
那第三个大学科就是英明学。
So this deals with epistemology. You know, how do we know what a correct cognition is? How do we know when our mind is understanding things correctly?
所以这个学科就是要探讨的是叫认识论。我们到底怎么知道我们的思维是正确的？
Okay. So this topic deals Pramana deals with that. It also, again, talks about logic and the mind and its functions. And then it gives this beautiful, tremendous logical argument to prove rebirth.
Now, 那学英明学的时候也是谈到逻辑，也会谈到我们的心和心的功能，然后在从中有一个很微妙的一个以逻辑的方式去证明为什么有轮回。
So if you study this text, then if your friend says, "How do you know there's rebirth?" you could say something, and you can show them and prove it to them.
所以学了英明学之后呢，如果有人问你，哎，你怎么可以证明到底为什么有轮回还是再生？你就会能以很逻辑性的方式证明为什么有再生。
And this, the Pramana text also goes into real depth about the Four Noble Truths.
那英明学的论文也是非常的仔细的谈到四圣谛。
Yeah, and what they call the 16 aspects of the Four Truths.
那四圣谛的16个不同的相。
So again, very interesting.
所以非常的有意思，非常有趣。
Okay, so that's the fourth topic. The third topic. Then the fourth topic is Vinaya.
对，第四大学科就是戒律学。
Yeah. So they often study. There's a text by Gudaprabha who lived in the 9th century. His text is called the Vinaya Sutra, but it's not a sutra. But that's one of the principal texts they study to the Vinaya.
在藏传佛寺中，通常会依赖着9世纪的功德光尊者他所写的《戒律本论》。他们虽然叫戒经，还是律经，但是这不是一个经典，是论文。
Yeah. So actually, they wait until they quite late in their study program to study Vinaya. I think Vinaya should be put more towards the beginning.
所以在藏系的整个教育制度中呢，很蛮迟才会学到，才会接触到戒律学。那法师觉得，其实戒律学应该是在基础就开始学的。
Yeah, don't you think when you became Bhikshunis, weren't you happy to right away have teachings on the precepts?
你们觉得吗？这不是吗？因为好像你刚刚受具之后，马上就有机会学比丘尼戒，你会不会觉得很开心？
To know what the precepts are, to know what, you know, if you transgress them, how to make amends.
就一开始就会了解到，哎，我所受的戒是什么啊？然后如果有犯戒，应该怎么去忏悔和清净
？Yeah, what are the chief, the root precepts? What are the minor precepts?
会学到什么是重戒，什么是轻戒。
So Vinaya is a very precious topic because.It's really practical, you know? It's not heavy philosophy. It's real practical. How do you talk to people? How do you act towards people?
所以戒律学这门学科真的是非常的宝贵，因为它是很容易让我们在日常生活去运用到，而不是好像在谈到天花乱坠的那种哲学，就是很实际的让我们知道应该怎么去跟别人谈 谈话，我们行住坐卧应该怎么去行持。
So when you're Shramanis, then or Shramanaris, you only have 10 precepts. So you have the broad general understanding of what to do and what not to do.
所以呢，沙弥尼的时候呢，我们只有十个沙弥尼戒。那从中我们就开始得到在戒律上一个很就是很大略的一个概念，我们到底应该行持的还是不应该行持的是什么。
But when you become a bhikshuni, then you get the precepts point out very detailed behavior. So it helps to make us more mindful.
那受了比丘尼戒之后呢，就开始有很多戒条，开始告诉我们很明细的，应该如何行持。那我们从中也会变成产生我们有正念。
So how many precepts do you have as a bhikshuni?
首先你是比丘尼，有几个戒条？
How many are root precept?
有几个是根本戒？
Eight.
How many are sankhya sessas?
有几个是sankhya vissa?
Seventeen.
How many are forfeiture lapses?
有几个是舍堕？
Thirty.
How many are lapses?
有几个是破一体？ 178.
Good. How many are offenses confessable? Then the last of the five topics is Abhidharma. Yeah. So Abhidharma is very technical, lots of lists.
对，这个阿毗达摩学非常的是叫技术性吧，技术性。然后很多的列出好多的。
So I think in the Chinese tradition, also in the Tibetan tradition, we study Vasubandhu's Abhidharma Kosha.
所以在藏传跟汉传都有学四千论师的阿毗达摩俱舍论。
Okay, in the Tibetan, we also study Asanga's Abhidharma Samuchaya. Do you study that in your studies here?
所以在藏传也有学无着菩萨的大乘阿毗达摩集论，我们在这里有学吗？
7 Abhidharma texts, but you don't study Vasubandhu's Abhidharma Kosha?
We do about 10 years ago in the institute, we don't have that class, but now recently.
Okay.
10 years ago,
yeah. So Vasubandhu, who wrote the Abhidharma Kosha, and Asanga, who wrote Abhidharma Samuchaya, they were brothers. So Asanga practiced Mahayana, and Abhidharma and Vasubandhu practiced the Shravaka vehicle.
那无说菩萨修的就是菩萨乘，而世亲论师所修的是声闻乘。Yeah.
So Asanga was always trying to talk to his brother and say, hey, you know, you should try to become a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings.
那无说菩萨就时常跟他的那个弟弟说嘛，诶，你应该开始修菩萨乘啊，要利益所有的众生嘛。
Yeah, and Vasubandhu was going, no, I'm not so sure. Yeah, it takes so long. You have to have so much joyous effort. But Asanga didn't give up, and eventually, Vasubandhu became a Mahayana practitioner. And then they say that he felt so badly for criticizing the Mahayana that he wrote the Abhidharma Kosha to purify the negative karma from criticizing Mahayana.
心里感到很惭愧，因为他以前是批评大乘，所以他为了要忏悔啊，要净化他的心，他就写《阿毗达摩俱舍论》。Yeah.
Do you know the story about Sangha?
你们知道无着菩萨的故事吗？Yeah,
he was Maitreya's student.
他是弥勒菩萨的弟子。Yeah.
You know it or don't know?
知道还是不知道？
The dogs.
Huh? About the dog, yeah.
Some yes, some no.
Some do? Okay. Should I tell it? Okay. I like this story. But I don't tell it, I'm sure I don't tell it exactly perfectly. Okay, so a Sangha was doing retreat in his meditation cave, and he wanted to have a vision of Maitreya, the next Buddha. So he meditated very well, he tried so hard, but he couldn't have a vision of Maitreya.
So he was very busy,
Yeah, so he got discouraged. Oh, I'm trying so hard. It's not working. I'm leaving this cave. I'm going down to town and to a restaurant. Let's have some good food. So on his way down the mountain, he saw one man who was stroking a rock with a feather. And he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trying to wear away the rock so it doesn't exist here. I want to get rid of the rock." And the Sangha thought, "With the feather, you're going to get rid of the rock." But the lesson was, what a Sangha thought about that, was that this man had so much energy and enthusiasm to get rid of the rock by stroking it with a feather, then I should have enough fortitude and patience and energy to keep meditating and try to get a vision of Maitreya. So he went back up the mountain into retreat.
所以到当时无着菩萨所得到的启示，看到这个男人，他就觉得，哦，原来如果这个人可以这么精进的一个心态，用一个羽毛抚摸这个石头，那我也应该一样精进的去进修。如果我可以有这种心态的话，我一定是可以看到弥勒菩萨的。他就想到这一点，他就回去山上的山洞。Yeah,
then he meditated another, I forget how many years, still no vision. So he was going to go down to town again. Yeah, anybody remember what he saw this time?
I can't remember. 你们记得他第二次看到什么？
He was trying to...
There are two seeds. One is there is a drop of water.
The rock. To move the rock or to make a lake? What was he trying to do?
The guy? To penetrate.
To
the
penetrate
rock.
The rock, yeah.
Yeah. And another seed is the very big mantle. They try to make it into a needle.
Oh, that's right, the piece of metal to make it in. Yeah, so two more times, you know, he would go down, see these people doing these impossible things, realize he needed to keep trying and go back up to the cave.
用希望那个水可以滴，用那个水去穿入那个石头，然后第二次就是看到有人把一个很大的铁棒，要把它磨成
Do you ever feel like that in your practice? Like, oh, I'm trying so hard, and it's just not getting anywhere.
你有没有这种想法？好像在修行中觉得，哎，我这么努力，还是没有成就。
So this is how Asanga felt. So he went back up, meditated again, still no Maitreya. This time he says, I'm really done this time. And he starts going down the mountain.
无着菩萨就一直回去山洞，一直在那里静坐，但还是没有看到弥勒菩萨哦。他心里就想，我真的就心灰意冷了，完全放弃，他就离开。
Yeah. On his way down the mountain,He saw a dog who had been injured, and in the wound there were all sorts of maggots. You know, these worms crawling around in the big wound.
So, when he was falling, he saw a dog. That dog had been injured, and in the wound there were all sorts of maggots. You know, these worms crawling around in the big
wound. And Asanga saw this, and he felt so much compassion for the dog. He wanted to do something to help the dog.
So when 无着菩萨看到这只狗的时候，他心里就发了大悲心，真的是非常想为这只狗做出帮助这只狗。
So he thought, you know, he would take the maggots out, but then if he took the maggots out and just put them on the ground, the maggots would die.And he also had compassion for the maggots. He didn't want them to die.
当时他心里想，哦，可能他就用手这样把那些蛆虫这样取出来，把放在地上。然后他心里就想，哎，如果这么做的话，这些蛆虫也会死掉。那他也是对这些蛆虫有很大的悲心。
Okay. So he thought, what am I going to do? So he cut a piece off of his own leg, a piece of flesh.And then, in order not to hurt the maggots by taking them out with his fingers, he closed his eyes and he was putting out his tongue, you know, to gently take the maggots out of the wound in the dog.
对，无着菩萨就怎么做呢？他先把他的腿大腿上割了一块肉放在那里，然后就用他的闭着眼睛，用他的舌头去舔这些蛆虫，因为他不要用手会伤害到他。
Would you do that to help the dog and the maggots?
你会这么做吗？为了去帮一只狗，还有这些蛆虫？
No, our compassion is still rather small, isn't it?
我们所发的悲心还是有限制。
But Asanga had tremendous compassion for the dog and for the maggots. So when he stuck out his tongue and he was trying to take the maggots out, then and his eyes were closed, he couldn't find the maggots.
So, 那时候无着菩萨的那个悲心是多么的大。那当他闭上眼睛啊，伸出舌头要去舔那个蛆虫的时候，哎，好像没有东西哦，找不到那个蛆虫。
So he thought, what's going on? And he opened his eyes, and there, instead of the dog, was Maitreya.
那时候他心想，哎，到底发生了什么事？然后他睁开眼睛的时候呢，就看到，哎。
And Asanga was so surprised, and he said, Maitreya, I've been trying to have a vision of you for so long, and you haven't appeared. What took you so long? Maitreya said, I've been there the whole time. I was sitting in the cave the whole time with you. And he showed, Maitreya showed him his robe. And he said, this is where you spit sometimes, and it's on my robe.
那时候弥勒菩萨就跟无着说，哎，你一直在山洞修行的时候，我一直都在那里啊。他就跟他给他看他的僧服说，哎，你吐痰的时候就吐到这里了。
So why couldn't Asanga see Maitreya before?
但是为什么之前无着是看不到弥勒菩萨呢？
And what was it that enabled him to see Maitreya finally?
那最终他为什么能有这个能力看得到弥勒菩萨？
Yeah, it was his great compassion, wasn't it?
是因为他起了大悲心。
So he kept trying and he kept trying and he kept trying. But it was the great compassion that cut through his obscurations.
So he was there, 不断的努力啊，一直在发愿，但是是在发了大悲心之后，才把他那个障碍完全的去除掉。
So then he was so happy to see Maitreya. He put Maitreya on his shoulders and he went down to the town.And saying to everybody, "Look, here's Maitreya."
那那时候他是多么的发喜，他就马上把弥勒菩萨放在他的肩膀，就跑到市区内说，哎，大家看，这是弥勒菩萨。
But all the people in the town only saw a dog.
但是周遭的人只看到一只狗。
They thought, "Cuckoo, cuckoo." He was crazy.
这是疯子吧？把乌州菩萨看成是疯子。
And the people in the town couldn't see the Maitreya. They could only see the dog because of their karmic obscurations.
也就是因为那些市区的人的业障，他们就不能看得到弥勒菩萨，只看得到一只狗。
Yeah, but because of the great compassion and clearing away so many karmic obscurations, the sangha could see Maitreya.
但是吴卓就是在他的努力之下，已经去除了他的业障，他就能看得到弥勒菩萨。
So this is a good story to remember whenever we feel discouraged.
所以当我们感到很欣慰的时候，我们可以记得这个故事。
It's a good story. And His Holiness the Dalai Lama always tells us, don't measure your practice by.Thinking, you know, oh, how was I a week ago or a month ago? You know, is my practice better than a week ago or a month ago?
那达赖喇嘛就这里时常鼓励我们说，不要去那里一直想我一个星期前还是一个月前有没有进展，我的修行从一个星期还是一个月前有没有增长。
Yeah, he said, think of how you were 5 years ago.Yeah, are you a better person now than 5 years ago?
反而他鼓励我们回忆说，五年前的我，相比现在的我，我现在有没有进步呢？有吗？比五年前的那个有进步吗？
Are you a better person because of the Dharma than you were 5 years ago?
你现在因为有修学佛法，比五年前会比较好吗？
Yeah, so you see the Dharma practice works.
那从这里你就看得到修学佛法是有利益的。
Yeah, we just have to have fortitude and patience and continue doing it.
我们就是要有忍耐心，要继续有精进的心态，不断的修行。
Yeah. And then one day we'll become Buddhas.
那久而久之呢，我们就会成为佛。
So if you become a Buddha before me, please come and help me.
如果你在我成佛你比我更先成佛的话，不要忘记我，就来帮忙我。
Yeah, we have a karmic connection, so we should make a deal that whoever becomes the Buddha first helps the rest of us.
我们现在已经结了善缘，我就要跟大家谈条件。如果你们在我之前成佛，一定要来帮忙。
Yeah, good deal, huh?
这是很好的条件，不是吗
？Okay, so work hard because I'm a little bit lazy.
对，请大家精进，因为我比较散漫。
Okay. Good. So I think it's we went over time.
Five ten.
Okay. So then we have a few minutes for questions and maybe answers.
所以在下面时间之前还有几分钟，看大家有什么问题吗？有什么疑问还是有什么想发表的意见？
No, we consider the basic ones, starting with Abhidharma Kosha and the Middle Way and Pramana. We don't count the introductory ones.
好吧，就是说那些前方面的学科就不算在内，是从 实叫五大学科，然后之中就有学有学五大类。
OK。
所以是包大类是在这些学科的其中
一部分。Because you know when we talk about five main topics,、uh-huh. they're not just five great treatises.
Yeah.
There's a difference. So she's、yeah. now curious, are the five great treatises subsumed under the five main topics?
Oh, the five main topics are what you study, but for each of them,they have specific texts that they focus on. So I was mentioning the texts that are focused on for each of the five topics.
So we are saying five main topics, right? So within each topic, they have a specific paper. So from that, they have five main topics. But actually, it's more than five. So it's five main topics. Within each topic, they have learned many different topics. The professor mentioned these different topics.
For example, in the Nyingma tradition, they study the same five topics, but they use 13 texts to study them.
就好像在宁玛派对吗？也是有这个五大学科，但是他们是由十三部论文去修习五大学科。
Yeah, and some of their commentaries to study Majjhimaka are different than the ones the commentaries the Guru use.
那在中观学的那些注解呢，我们会用不同的注解。
Okay. Other questions?
有其他的问题吗？
Nagarjuna says that asking questions is how you gain wisdom.
龙树菩萨说过，你要问问题才会有智慧。
Yeah. And I think some people, I don't know who, think that asking questions, you might look stupid.So you don't ask any questions.
法师说，可能在座有些人呢，心里会想问问题，显得自己很愚笨，就不敢问问题，是不是这样 ？No.
No.
不是吗
？Then ask some questions.
就尽管发问啊。 The residential monasteries of the monastics, because here, you know, they
In the Tibetan system, the monasteries are also Buddhist institutes. They're the same thing. So when you enter the monastery, you start these studies. Okay, let's dedicate the American. Okay. Do you have a chant that you do?
The usual Chinese
one.
Okay. You can use. Or do you want to?
No, do the Chinese one.